What's that old horror movie thing? He's back. Gabby returns. This week, Bruce Boudreaux is back on the Chirp podcast. The favorite in the West, windows closing in Pittsburgh and Washington. Want to get into that with the former head coach and the story behind the greatest trade deadline promo ever. The beeps have been beeped. Bruce Boudreaux is on the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Huzzah! Oh, how'd that feel, old man? That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Hit him, light him up, light him up!
Yeah, nice hit!
That's solid.
A week apart is just too long. Hugs all around as we gather back in the worldwide headquarters of the Chirp podcast in Las Vegas. Thanks to funny man Ian Bagg, comedian extraordinaire, and NHL Network Radio's Gord Stellick, some great promotion for the Chirp podcast over the last few days. But we're back in the skates right now. Playoff races happening all over the National Hockey League. And outside of Boston, you look at the standings, and at the time of this recording, the other three divisions have a total of 4 points between first and second. It's extraordinary what we're seeing right now in the battle for the top seeds in the divisions and top seeds in the Western Conference. And so we're looking at that with Bruce Boudreaux. Everybody's winning in the West right now, not giving an inch. The wild card race in the East is anxiety driven right now. And in a cloudy situation, we needed some clarity. So we lean on our good buddy Bruce Boudreaux, most recently with the Vancouver Canucks. He's up anyway, as you'll hear. He's ready to go and waiting to talk hockey. And for dog lovers, there's a special treat in this for you as we lean on Gabby on the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard. It's the first time that you and I are talking on the record since the change was made. How are you doing?
Yeah, hanging in, trying to keep busy. You know, got a lot of stuff going. I mean, not the exact stuff that I'd want to be doing, but I mean, we're finishing up with our junior team here and preparing again for next year. And so, like, I mean, I hate being a salesman where now I'm going to get sponsorships and everything all over the place. And then I've been back and forth to Toronto, did the trade deadline, and then, visiting my mom a couple times and doing the NHL Network. So trying to stay as busy as possible and being involved, just, continually watching the hockey to make sure, A, that I know what I'm talking about when I'm on TV, and to stay relevant sort of thing, you know, to stay in everybody's eye so they don't forget.
When you watch games, this happened to me. It would drive me batty watching the games when I wasn't involved in the game, but I wanted to watch the games to stay present. It was like a catch-22.
Yeah, no, it's both. Like, I mean, there's the one good thing about when you're at home watching the games is anytime you get ticked off enough, you can turn to another game. You know, there's usually enough games going on, but I mean, and enough surprises recently, you start to wonder, like, I mean, scoring 7 goals in a period and the high scoring that's been going on, it's been quite a little crazy, if you ask me.
Who have you heard from since you've been out of Vancouver?
Well, when it happened, I without a word of exaggeration, I had 500 texts the next day. I mean, it was like, whether you like it or not, I was trending number one on Twitter in Canada for about 3 days straight there. And I was going, okay, this is ridiculous. But I heard from everybody. I heard from, everybody from George McPhee to Gary Bettman to Scotty Bowman to Wayne Gretzky. Like, I mean, I'm going, wow. Like, I mean, from people I haven't heard from in 45 years. I mean, actors who played in the movie Slapshot. I mean, crazy stuff that I'm going, I'd get off the phone and look at my wife and say, do you realize who that just was? You know, I mean, especially when Gary phoned me, I thought that was pretty special. When he gave me a call, and I mean, I would bet 15 coaches in the league, and I'd say at least a dozen managers in the league, all texted me. And so I thought, you know, that was pretty cool. I mean, for what had just happened, I mean, it kept my spirits up. So that was good.
Hearing from managers is good.
Yeah, no. I mean, I heard, you know, like I say, about 12 of them. I mean, I've been fired from enough of them that they wanted to just get back with me. But I mean, you know, when you're in the business 50 years, you gain a lot of friendships. And so, I mean, even though I didn't work with a lot of these guys, I had talked to them quite often and, you know, just sort of had a casual relationship with them. So it was really nice to hear from them when there was really no necessity for them to give me a call other than saying, hey, listen, you know, keep your head up. You know, you're better than that and you've handled it the right way.
Can I pull on the string on the conversation with the Slapshot actor? Who was it?
Funny, actually. There was two of them. Jerry Hauser was Killer Carlson in the movie. And actually, during the movie, and this is 1976, I think, we hung out. We were pretty good friends at the time. And then you just lose track of everybody. And he lives in L.A. right now. So, I mean, it's we just started reminiscing and talking about things and you know, and like he was telling me how he followed my career and that hopes it continues type thing. And then the guy that surprised me is I heard from Alan Nichols. Now Alan Nichols was the actor. He played a member of the Charleston Chiefs, but if you can remember the scene where he said when they were doing this keeps going blank, but I mean it, the beauty contest or the duck. And he says, if the only one out there is going to be my wife and I'm going to be doing something and she's going to be the only one that's not leaving the crowd type thing. When they were doing the fashion show on the runway. And that was pretty cool that he had called me. And so, I mean, people were coming out of the woodwork. Without a word of a lie, people that, you know, I had met in Newfoundland when I was in the American League and in Nova Scotia and all parts, from the of North America. It was pretty silly. You know, when things are pretty bad and pretty, you know, like anytime you get let go, I mean, it's pretty depressing. But these guys, at least gave me a little bit of, you know, jump back in my step.
How did they get your number?
I have no idea. I mean, people can get anybody's number. I have no idea how they got my number. I mean, in the hockey circles, somebody would phone anybody and he knows everybody. And Gary obviously knows everybody. But as far as the actors in that went, I had no idea how these guys got my number.
So you're going to get into movies now that you're back in TV?
Yeah, I've got that real face to be a leading man. no, I don't think so. But it was it's fun doing that sort of stuff, you know. So, I mean, it keeps you busy. And like the main thing is when I do all of that stuff, you're just talking hockey. And I mean, it's the one thing like I feel comfortable doing. One of the best calls I had was from George. I mean, he's such a good friend and supportive of me. So I mean, I was really happy to hear from him. And you know, in so many occasions over my career, if things didn't go well, or if I was having troubles, I'd phone him, and he'd be a man that gave me great advice. So I mean, he's always good to talk to.
You're watching the games right now. Who do you see as a favorite in the West, or is there one?
Well, I mean, you know, I think your question, is there one, is a really good question because it sort of changes every night. I keep waiting for your team. I mean, they were just sort of stumbling to me before the All-Star game type thing. And now they've taken on such a run. And if they ever get Stone back, I mean, I think they're going to be really, really dangerous. I've always waited for their goaltending to falter, but their goaltending hasn't faltered. Butch plays a really good defensive style anyway. So, I mean, that really helps. But I mean, and when Theodore got back from injury, that really helped a lot, I think, with Vegas. But Vegas is right up there, but they're the quiet. It's not like in the previous years where it was the boisterous Vegas. This is the quiet, sneaking up on you Vegas type thing. So, I mean, obviously, they're in a real, race for first in the West, in the Pacific. Nobody, seems to think about it too much. But those three teams, L.A., Edmonton, Vegas, I think are going to go right down to the wire in the West. I think L.A. is another team that made those two moves that they made in the at the trade deadline, I think really incredibly helped their team. And Edmonton, we always say that, they just got Connor. I mean, in one day, he's going to score 5 goals every game in the playoffs and you're going to win. So that's the Pacific. Can you hold on 2 seconds while I open the door for my dog?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love this. Because we are a pet-friendly podcast. Nobody embraces dogs like we do on the Chirp podcast. What's the puppy's name?
It's not really a puppy. It's okay. Dixie, and she's a 170-pound Newfoundlander. So when she wants to go out, she looks over the table. She was looking over the table and just gives me that nod, and I'm saying, I better get my butt in gear and get her out of the house right now.
Wow. So when you coached in Vancouver, was Dixie there? Or was
no,
Dixie?
No, okay. we couldn't bring her there.
A cargo plane.
Pardon me?
You need a cargo plane to get Dixie on that.
Exactly. I mean, we weren't going to drive her there because it would take too long and that wouldn't be good for her. And you're never going to fly her unless she's sitting in the seat beside you. And I don't think that would work either. So she stayed here and we had a house sitter looking after her the whole time we were in Van.
That's awesome. Well, say hi to Dixie for us. If you were coaching in the West, who would you rather match up against in this? Like, that's a different way of asking about the favorite, but I think from your point of view, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, like, I mean, it always intrigues me, and they're playing so well. But at the same time, Minnesota, like, seems like a beatable team. Like, I mean, when you look at them and you look at them go through their lineup and such, they look like a beatable team. They're getting such good goaltending and they're finding ways to score, whether Kaprizov is there or whether he's not there. And I mean, they went about 10 games there with winning 2-1 and 1-0. And even last night's game, 2-1 in overtime, where, I mean, they get outshot 48-20. I mean, they find ways to win, but they don't put the fear of God in you. I don't think anyway. They're a good team and they play really good, but you know, Colorado can put the fear of God in you. Like, I mean, Dallas, if they've got everything going for them, I mean, they're pretty deep and they've got it too, but it's, I think Minnie's a team that will beat you and they're proving it. But at the same time, I think you can go in there and you can make your team believe that they can beat them. I think the same goes true with Edmonton because they have holes, even though Ekholm has really helped that team solidify it. It's exactly what they needed for a defenseman, a guy that's been not only through the wars, but can be a stay-at-home and shutdown guy. You know, I mean, and I look at Tyson Barrie, and he's a good defenseman. And when they made the trade, but at the same time, he's a totally different defenseman. And I think this is what Edmonton needed. I just don't know if Edmonton or Vegas goaltending, which has stood up, can continue to do that because it's an unknown quantity.
Well, I feel like it's a perfect year in the sense for you, because this might be the playoffs of the multiple goaltenders, and you weren't afraid to flip back and forth with goaltenders during a course of a playoff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially before I got to Vancouver, I was lucky enough in Washington. we had three young goalies. We had Varlamov, we had Holtby, we had Neuwirth. Okay, so I mean, they were all switchable. And then for the next 4.5 years, I have Gibson and I have Freddie Anderson. So they were easily to switch off. I mean, we didn't have the number one. The only, like in Vancouver, I had the number one guy if we had made the playoffs, but that would have been it there. So,
but is it because some people seem to worry about this? You need a number one guy. You need a number one guy. I don't know whether you do. Vasilevsky has been the exception, but before that, Pittsburgh went back and forth. It seems to have changed now.
I think it has changed. Look, it's potentially 28 games in 2 months. Okay, 14 games a month with the pressure that's added, playing every second day with a break in between rounds. I think the rate that the goaltenders go down injured nowadays, I think if you don't have two, you're in trouble. And that puts a real stress on teams salary cap wise, too, because you're hoping to get by, with the goaltender and then somebody at a lower cost that can be for the backup. I mean, to me, it ended up hurting us when we lost Demko and we had two guys that are on the minimum salary that were basically American League goalies that playing for 30 games. But I mean, you got to find, if you can get the combination of the two, and I think, teams like Rangers had it. I mean, and they traded the guy to Colorado, Georgiev, and I mean the Islanders have it. I mean, I think with Varlamov and the other Russian goalie that they have, but there's not too many teams that have two real good ones that if you're going to last for a while. I mean, Minnesota, that's where they come in. I mean, with Fleury and the other guy, I forget his name.
Gustafson,
but he's been outstanding all year. Like, I mean, and I think you need to find those guys, those diamonds in the rough that come up and all of a sudden play great. And you're not expecting them to play great, whether it's a goaltender, forward or a defenseman, to have success.
I've heard that Boston is going to be challenged going into the Stanley Cup playoffs because they've been too good. I find that hard to believe, but is it a concern?
Nope, because I'll tell you, I've had some really good teams, and no matter what happens, you have to play 10% better in the playoffs than you did in the regular season, at least. And it's usually 10% per round better because it keeps ramping up. So they've had a great year. I mean, and they're going to end up with who knows how many points, 128 or something. Maybe even 130, but I mean, the year I was with Washington, we only had 15 losses in the year, and we had 122 points. But I mean, we didn't elevate our game for the playoffs. We played the same way, the exact same. We outshot Montreal for 7 games and outplayed them pretty badly, but we didn't elevate our game, and so we ended up losing. And I think Boston's going to be the same way, especially. You know, like there's teams like Tampa that can elevate their game. There's teams like, I think, Toronto. You don't get their best game all the time, but when you get their best game, they're pretty tough to beat. And so I don't think it's a given for them. I mean, we've seen Vasilevsky come in and shut down teams no matter how good they are. But obviously Boston's the favorite. I think they made some great trades at the deadline. I think they're a complete team, but they have to upgrade their game in the playoffs if they want to win the cup.
So no concern that they clinch early?
I don't know. It's hard for me to remember going back that far when we clinched very early as well. But at that point, you want to stay healthy is number one. But it's the last 3 or 4 games you want to get back into that playoff mode. I mean, they could lose a few here and there and not worry about it. But if they go into the last 3 or 4 games, getting back into that mode of shutting everybody down, and like they've done it, they lost 3 out of 4. Now they've won 4 in a row. I mean, That's sort of like they get into that. Okay, we're done with that. Let's get back to normal. And they up their game so far. Every game they play against a really good team, you see them amp it up. It's like them saying, okay, boys, I know you're good. Like Minnesota was going great. I know you're good, but we're going to come in and we're going to show you that, I mean, you're not us yet. And it seems like that's sort of like the attitude they've taken every time they play a good team.
Who would you take Toronto against Tampa?
Oh, my God, you're asking me these questions. I'm going to Toronto next week, and I mean, they're going to ask me that 100 times. But
so I'm getting in front of it.
Yeah, you're getting in front of it like you usually do, you usually do. I think at some point, and for no illogical reason, I think at some point Toronto's going to win a round. And I think they have to win the round this year. Well, especially if the management wants to stay the same, they better win the first round. But I mean, and at some point, Tampa's going to lose out. They can't go to the Cup Finals through that gauntlet in the East 4 years in a row. I just don't see them happening. But I think Toronto's a better team this year. They play a better team. The question in everybody's mind about Toronto is, can their goaltending hold up? Because it's, you know, been pretty average goaltending. But their team is playing a better team game. They're all in with all the moves they've made. I don't know if they're still going to benefit from that or they're not going to benefit from it. But I think it's a big call. But I'm calling them to win at least the first round. The second round is against Boston probably. So I don't know how that's going to work out.
Boy, it's like the 110 meter hurdles for the Toronto Maple Leafs to get to get deep into the playoffs one after another.
Yeah, and then when you know, and everybody's been saying like, oh yeah, when the Eastern team comes, and then they'll be way more tired than the West. But I mean, you when you get down to it, those top 16 teams, at least the top 12 teams, are so good in the NHL that I mean, it doesn't matter if you're the East or the West, you're going to go through a war. The thing I don't worry about it, but I mean, from an outsider, Colorado is so good if they get healthy, like just so good. I mean, and McKinnon is every bit as good as Connor McDavid, I think. So, I mean, if they get Landeskog back, and the key to me is getting Josh Manson back because he solidifies that defense. If they can get those two guys back, and then Lehkonen, who's been out now, is back, they're a pretty all-together team. And so I think they'll be a real tough team to beat.
Can you call them a Cinderella? Is there a Cinderella this year in the playoff race?
Could there be a Cinderella team? You know, if any of the wild cards even get past the first round, I mean, that could be a Cinderella team. That could be the Princeton of the NCAAs at that point, I think.
You follow the March Madness?
Well, my bracket is, my pool is so gone. I'm probably not going to follow
everybody's
it. Yeah, I know. But I'm with a group in Mississippi, and I just asked them last night. I said, okay, you've got there's 20 of us in it. And I said, you've got it. How am I? And he says, you are so bad, we don't even think of you anymore.
You didn't have FDU?
No, I think I went with my wife, and we put Purdue to win it against Kansas State or Kansas. Yeah. And I mean, they're both like history. And I had Houston in the Final Four, and they're still in it. But I think who else did I have? I don't know who else I had, but they're gone too. So, I mean, I don't have anybody. I have one team in the Elite Eight. So unless they're as dumb as me, I mean, we're all out of it.
How's Dixie? Does Dixie need to come back in yet?
No.
Okay.
She's probably running somewhere on the golf course chasing people right now.
Can you imagine turning around and seeing Dixie coming at you?
You know what? And it's funny because she's always outside when golf's and it's just starting. I think they're just cleaning up. I think it opens April 1st here. Everybody comes over and talks to her because she just sits there and she doesn't bother the golfers. It's great. But at night when she's outside, if she sees somebody walking on the course that shouldn't be there, She will bark at him. It's like she's the protector of the golf course.
That is awesome.
It's like, pretty cool.
She's the course manager, right?
That
keeps everybody up to date.
And all the members know who she is. So, I mean, they know that, you know, like they'll come up and in the cart, and they'll come right up to her and they'll all pet her. And she's like, yeah, it's okay. You can play. You're allowed. I'll let you play.
You talk to your buddy Obi or the 40 goals again, breaks Wayne Gretzky. Darren Elliott had the best line, by the way, last night. He said, if you pass Wayne Gretzky on the highway, it's a big deal. Never mind passing him for a National Hockey League record. So another accomplishment for the grade eight.
Well, just think of the number of 40 goals for 13 years, 13 yeah. times. I mean, that's freaking amazing. Like, I mean, you know, he looks older every year. His hair gets grayer, his beard gets grayer, but I mean, he still keeps going. His shot is still the same. He's still as strong as a moose, and he's going to go till he breaks Wayne's record for sure.
Do you think he can get to a grand?
Ooh, I don't know how long he wants to play. That would be probably another 2 years. Like, okay, what's he got now? 8-17 or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, so he'd need like 35 in his next 2 years, I think, to break Wayne's. Mm-hmm. And then is he willing to play till he's 40, 41, 2 years after that to get 1,000? That would be... It would be a feat that you could compare with any feat in any sport that was the greatest of them all kind of feats. And that would be right up there for sure, especially in a physical sport like hockey.
There's a possibility we may not have either Sid or Ovi in the playoffs.
A good chance of that. Yeah. And that, which is really weird. I mean, I could see it happening. I mean, if Pittsburgh gets through these next two games, I think they play Colorado, Dallas back to back tonight and tomorrow or something. If they could get at least one win out of those two, I think then, okay, it opens up for them and they can put a little run in the last 8 or 9 games. I think unfortunately, Washington's done. They're a little long in the tooth right now and they're missing some key guys. And I mean, their defense isn't anything that it used to be without really Orloff and Carlson back there. So, I mean, I think this is their year to okay, like St. Louis, that we're not going to do it and we'll have to regroup and get better next year. I think they're going to try and they've got the, the championship blood in them, but I don't think they're going to make it.
You know, I really thought Boston's window was closing and then they do what they did this year, blew me away. I wonder if I'm off the mark with Pittsburgh and Washington. It looks like windows are closing. Is it just a one-off?
Well, I think windows are closing. I mean, let's look at how many guys over 30 in Washington. I mean, they're better players. I mean, Oshie, Backstrom, Ovechkin, they're all in their mid 30s. Kuznetsov's over 30. Wilson is approaching, he's 29 and he'll be 30 next year. I mean, their best players are all of that getting to the age where you get hurt a lot and, you know, you need a team that's fairly consistent. I mean, they got a good minor league, team in Hershey here, but I mean, I don't think there's a lot of grade A prospects here. It's just a good veteran team with a lot of really good American League players. I hope they don't. I hope they're not watching this because they'll come and shoot me before the day's out. But I mean, so I think they are. I mean, again, Letang is mid 30s. Sid is. Malkin is. I mean, Carter's got another year. I mean, they're getting older too. And I think both teams' biggest weakness is their defense isn't as good as it used to be.
Hey, are you a TV guy now, or you still want to coach?
Oh, I would love to coach. I mean, one more year or two more years if I could. I mean, if I didn't have the energy, I would say, no, let's just do it. And it's been, you know, it's been a really good run. But every day I wake up and, you know, at 6:30, I want to get started and doing what I do. And I follow it so much. And I think this year, gave me, you know, like, I mean, like I was always the first at the rink and the last to leave, and never missed a practice. And I, the thing I think that I'm still pretty good at is I really communicate good with the younger guys. And I think that's, for any older coach, that's the toughest thing nowadays is, you know, getting through to the young guys, because it's a different game with them. And I thought, like, I mean, the way Pettersson and some of these young guys have come on, and Kuzmenko and in Vancouver. And I think I had a lot to do with that. And I think it was more because of the communication with these guys. So, and Quinn Hughes and everything. So, I mean, I feel I can still do it. And the, even more than that is I still want to do it. I have the passion to do it. So, I mean, that's when you wake up every morning and you want to go to work and you want to do that, I think that's it. And rather than, I'm glad I'm at home, I'm, you know, I mean, I can sleep in, that's never been me. So, you know, hopefully I can get one more shot at it.
What's a sleep in for Gabby?
Oh, right now, 7.
Boy, you're right.
Yeah, if I get, yeah, like I got to get up, and the first thing I do is go to the living room, turn on the fly to see what I missed at the end of the night. So, and then I go from there.
They're going to be pulling that little clip right there, NHL Network, and using that as a plug. That's perfect promo. You're really a TV guy. I love this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? It was fun doing the TSA and trade deadline. I can tell you that.
Okay, I've done a million of them, as you know. What was your favorite part, and were you intimidated at all going into a super long day?
Well, yeah, I was a little worried. Especially if the biggest thing I was worried about is what if they make moves that you don't know anything about the player? I mean, they got a great research department, and you do a little bit of studying on who the needs were, and you know the team of the needs. So when a player's name came up and you'd say, okay, that's a pretty good fit. Like, and you know, when the Garnet Hathaways and the Orlovs go to Boston, you go, man, that's perfect fit. When, you know, when you got Barbashev and I went, wow, that's a really good fit for Vegas, you know, and then you can talk about that because he's such a good two-way player that can fit in your fourth line if you're that deep, or you can go on your first line and him not hurt you. You know, I mean, I think you guys have seen that. And then I thought LA's deal was like, I always think of it as a puzzle. And they just, if you get those pieces to the puzzle that fit right in perfectly, it makes it for a good thing.
The promo, was that your idea? What?
Pardon me? No.
Was that your idea?
No. You know, when we did the first one, when the there it is one,
yeah.
Okay, at the end, they said, why don't you use, you know, an F-bomb, we'll beep it out, versus like, what have I got my effing self into? And then that afternoon, they said, okay, we're going to do this one, and we want it to be like the HBO special. So, and I said, are you sure? I was a little leery about using the swear words because, I mean, I did a radio commercial in Washington where they wanted me to do the same type of thing, but then they cut it out because they were worried about the kids. So I was a little concerned, and they convinced me that it was going to be done in good taste and everything. So I said, okay. And there was so many people, like, I mean, from Cheryl Pounder to, you know, James Duthie to all the people that were there. There was 8 of them on the stage at that. No, 10 of them on the stage at that time. And all I was thinking of is how I walked into the dressing room in the HBO special and in one take did all of that. And I was laughing my butt off because Gino Retta was sitting down. And when I'm going after all these guys, and like, I mean, they gave me an idea of what to say. Like Cheryl Pounder had been up for an award. So I knew, okay, I had to use that. But I saw Gino on the floor, and you don't even have an effing chair like this. And I almost started bursting out laughing myself, but I just kept it together until we went through it. And it was really good. I laughed, really hard when I saw it myself.
Did you go back and watch the Road to the Winter Classic, or did you Google it to watch
it? I did it before. I did, once I knew what I was doing, I did go back. And I have a friend in Washington who always tells me, he'll phone me, like, well, we'll talk almost every second day. And he works for Comcast, and he'll say, so stuff ain't going right. Like, that's how you start everything. So it's hard to get out of the mode when he's talking to me, like if he's having a bad day. And I've seen it and heard about it so many times since it happened.
That should be a t-shirt, you know that?
Well, yeah. So stuff ain't going right?
Yeah.
It would be a good t-shirt. Yeah, I would think so.
It'd be perfect.
I'll get on my buddy, because he's the one that with all the ideas. Like, I mean, he's the one that fixes me up a lot. And like, I mean, I use him. I'll always say hi to Alex or say hi to Nikki, and he sees them all the time. So I go through him to talk to them a lot.
Okay, well, let me know, because I would love to be a purchaser of that particular piece of merchandise.
Okay, I'll tell him today when he phones me.
What's the logo on your golf shirt? I want to know.
Oh, that's Blue Ox. That's the team we own in Minnesota.
Okay.
The junior team. I should have had a Hershey Cubs thing on, but this was the first thing I found. I'm not really a fashion icon out here in Hershey.
Well, I knew it had to have something to do with all your different reaches in hockey.
Mm-hmm. So, no, we own a team in Minnesota where we started on this USPHL junior. It's tier three junior. And then once we got to Hershey, we got the other team. And I'm now that, you know, my son and another guy coached the team. And I think they wish I'd get a job really in a hurry, because I'm in their face all the time. And I'm going, oh, Jesus, this is what I didn't want when I was coaching. And now I'm up there watching all their practices, coming back after. So, come on, you got to work on this. You got to work on that. So, but they're handling it pretty well.
It never fails to blow me away how many different topics we can touch on whenever we're together, whether we're sitting at the high tables or whether we're on a podcast. So thanks for doing this, Gabby, and have a great run with the NHL Network.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. And say hi to my friends out in Vegas there, okay?
Nate and Katie, it's on to them, and George as well.
All right. Thanks so much.
Jeez, I hope he doesn't forget that Dixie's outside, keeping track of the golf course. Love it. You see the guy come around all the time, the starter, or working around the golf course and keeping everybody on time. That's what Dixie does. And I think that all golf courses should follow that lead, because a Newfoundlander like that, that's going to be more intimidating than some 75-year-old guy who's getting two free rounds because he's working at the golf cart, telling you, hey, you got to pick up your pace. No, Dixie will make you keep up your pace. We're looking at the playoff races right now. And there's a few interesting bites about it. But I mentioned going into the Bruce conversation that it's so tight atop the Pacific and the Central and what's happening right now in the Metropolitan. But you've got Vegas, Dallas, and Carolina all leading as I record this right now. How many of those three, just think to yourself right now as you're listening to this, how many of those three are division winners by the end of the year? All three? Because Vegas has been in first place virtually all year, minus a couple of games just before the All-Star break. Dallas has been wire to wire. And we know that Carolina has been outstanding. A little bit of a flip-flop, but outstanding. So three front runners, all not with wide gaps for first place, but three front runners. Do they all hold on? Who's most likely to be passed? And could it be that all three get jumped over? The thing in the Pacific is just like roll the dice. It's wild how great those three teams in Vegas and LA and Edmonton have been over the last 10 to 12 games. Dallas has done a good job
and trying to hold off Minnesota. I am still surprised. Great job by Dean Evason and company there. And Carolina, New Jersey, I don't know. That's a complete pick 'em right now. New Jersey just will not go away. And are you really trying to win that division in order to get the top seed and the potential of playing a wild card? Or are you trying to win that division to avoid playing the Rangers in the first round? I think it's to avoid playing the Rangers in the first round. But I tell you what, the consolation of hooking up with right now would be with the Islanders. That's no easy task. And I can guarantee you everybody in the West is thinking, boy, I hope Calgary doesn't get in. Because you know, like if they get in and they get some confidence, they haven't had a good stretch all year. And if Calgary gets in and gets some confidence, boy, that would concern me. Nothing against Winnipeg. And Seattle, by the way, not getting a lot of conversation. Second-year franchise, and they're on track to make the playoffs. I wouldn't mind playing Seattle. Goaltending issues. Winnipeg, they've stumbled. Calgary really concerns me because they just haven't had that confidence at any point. And in the East, like Florida and Pittsburgh, clawing their way in, along with the New York Islanders, but the Islanders have a bit of a cushion. Who would you rather face if you're Boston, Florida or Pittsburgh? Can you imagine the last two President's Trophy winners meeting in a first-round series? Florida, best team in the regular season last year, and Boston, by far and away, the best team in the regular season this year. I don't know whether that's ever happened before. I'm thinking out loud as I work through this. Florida and Boston in a first-round series, and Florida with Matthew Tkachuk and just dragging that team, having one of those special years, All-Star Game MVP, first time a year in Florida, leading his team in every statistical category, including, if you remember the podcast that we did with him, golf carts. He loves the golf cart. We had Keith Tkachuk on a little while ago, loving the golf carts. But Florida getting in, they're another team, hasn't had that big run of success this year. If they finally feel it like Calgary, and Florida and Calgary are combined, they're linked because of what happened in the summer. They could be, I don't know whether it's Cinderella, but really dangerous. It's hard to say that they're Cinderellas after what they did last year. Both were divisional winners last year. So we're keeping an eye on it. We're in the stretch drive. When we talk to you again, we'll be inside 10 games to go in this National Hockey League regular season. Thanks to Bob Bender. He's mad at me right now. He won't talk. He won't talk. He won't come on. He's protesting right now. He's giving me the Heisman right now because he's following March Madness with Gabby. They're in the pool together, and Bobby's going to win that Missouri pool that Gabby's in with. And thanks to you for listening. And Gabby, always great to chat with you. We will speak with you again next week on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Be safe.